Dr. Mark Malone from Advanced Pain Care on how the spinal cord stimulator blocks pain signals, bringing patients relief at last.
Spinal stimulation is an implantable device consisting of two tiny wires connected to a battery that are placed alongside the spine. These wires emit a tiny electronic signal that blocks the pain signal that travels on nerves.
Advanced Pain Care, 512-244-4272 or online, austinpaindoctor.com.
Matt and CJ. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I got my down. The radio is tuned to KROX. Let's go.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
We are going.
I guess we is.
We're
I guess
trying
we
to
is.
Get going.
Yeah. Enjoying the weather today. It's kind of one of those difficult days where it's like, oh, do I really?
Do I want to go to work or just sit on my porch?
Can I call in and lie about having a leg accidentally cut off or something?
No, dude, COVID's the lie that gives us 10 days off automatically.
Yeah, but then I got to miss 10 days. I don't want to miss 10 days. I just wanted to miss one day.
Okay, fair enough.
Would you like missing 10 days straight of work?
I think I would get bored after three,
yeah.
But, you know, then I can just say, oh, it was a false positive. Everything's good. You know, we shouldn't say this on air with our bosses potentially listening.
They're not listening to this
okay.
show.
Fair.
Have you heard this
good,
thing?
Good,
it's terrible.
Good.
Nobody's listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's silence.
That's
the silence right there.
Well, I mean, it should go better. Mercury's officially out of retrograde.
What does that mean?
So things are...
For guys like me that don't know what any of that is or care, what does it mean?
It means there's going to be chaos and struggle and difficulties.
I thought
and
all
you
those
shouldn't
things...
make any lifelong decisions while Mercury's in retrograde
because
it can have negative effects. It's out today, so now we're good.
So now what do we blame all that stuff on?
alcoholism, failed parenting. I mean,
all the stuff that was actually responsible for everything in the last. How long was Mercury in retrograde?
Like a month, I think.
It had to have been longer than that. I feel like I was seeing, or does it happen every year?
It happens several times a year.
Several times a year?
I do believe, yeah. You never know with Mercury. I mean, it's a silly little planet. It is. It has a mind of its own. So.
Well, thank you, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. It's very, very
a silly
physics.
Little planet, mind of its own.
Look at that little guy spinning by the sun.
Billions and billions. I got some fun news for us.
Yeah?
This week happens to be free speech week at the University of Texas at Austin. And
okay.
Do you know what that means?
You can say whatever you want, whenever you want. You can yell at your teachers.
No.
Do some TikTok challenges in the quad.
No, let's be practical. What it means is that right now is a great time to call UT.
Okay.
And tell them the football team sucks.
you're
allowed to do that this week as part of Free Speech Week.
And
the University of Texas in Austin.
They don't suck.
I know they don't. I know.
For
but the
one
joke,
half of every game.
But the joke doesn't work if I say, but the team could still use a little more support. I mean, that's not a good joke.
No.
You got to use the harsh word of suck.
Yeah. I mean, 4-3, that's fine. They'll get into a
brand
mediocre
coach, yeah.
bowl game.
Next year. Could look great.
Unless that running back, unless Bijan goes to the NFL, which I think he will.
Why?
I just think he will. I think he's having a good season, and why not? I mean, you can at least nowadays in college football make money, which is good.
Right.
But just the
just
lore
keep your
of
fingers
the, you know,
crossed.
I am.
That he doesn't win the Heisman. If he doesn't win the Heisman, he'll come back next year because he'll be like, oh, I'm definitely going to win next year.
I don't think a team with 3, 4, potentially 5 losses is going to have a running back win the Heisman.
I don't think that's true.
You know, the losses or that you don't think that a running back on a bad team could still win the Heisman? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Eddie George won. Didn't he? I just made that up. I literally just made it up. I don't know.
You faltered quickly on that.
I did, didn't I?
Oh,
no, I did
man.
Not really
maybe,
stand.
Maybe Mercury still is in retrograde.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about maybe later in the week, us doing some sports bets, especially on NFL, because, mm-hmm. you know, we tease me a lot because I don't know. I don't watch the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about NFL. Haven't watched it since I ran out of time in my life probably 20 years ago. And so I thought it'd be funny to... so everybody could just dunk on me in the city about my bad NFL knowledge.
Possibly, but I play a lot of fantasy football and stay up on it, and there's always like one or two people that join the league here, the 101X League, that don't know anything about players. They might just know that so-and-so's cute or this person has a funny name, and they always seem to win. So you might not be getting
That's
dunked
fantasy,
on.
That's though. That's you, scoring points. I was just looking to do it head-to-heads.
I know that. I mean, we're going to do that. But I still think sometimes just that that ignorance often paves way to success in a lot of ways.
Oh, are you talking about the Texas legislature right now? is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Today is the greatest! And yesterday we learned that America got a little bigger by annexing Alaska and Puerto Rico.
Never heard of them.
On this day yesterday. But yep. Today, America wouldn't even be in existence, or we would all be sipping tea with our pinkies up and paying corner stores in pounds instead of good old American dollars if this event had not happened. On this day in history was when the Americans defeated the British at Yorktown. If you remember that classic battle with George Washington, that French guy, Rochambeau. We also had General Cornwallis getting cornholed by the American troops,
yeah, and
the French Navy.
They all sat down and ate some Yorktown pudding together,
they
right?
They sure did. That's how they settled differences back then. But it was an absolute turning point in the American Revolution.
Now, what was the American Revolution? That's when we went to Vietnam, right?
Close. It's when we didn't want to pay for tea taxes, and so we told King George III that he can F off. He politely declined, and then a slap fight took place for the next couple of years until the British were eventually forced out of American soil.
Right. We just copy all of their television shows.
We pretty much do. I mean, the BBC's got a great range, and Channel 4, what's that other one?
I feel like every show we watch over in America now originates by the BBC.
Looks like they got the final say in this. But Matt, another important part about this to understand is that, one, the French intervening, as specifically their Navy, had a huge reason for this. And two, you kind of get this feeling in American history as a kid that we kicked the crap out of the British.
Hell yeah, we did.
They fled. They got out of here.
Yeah, dog.
Tails between their legs.
Yeah, put the stones to them.
But that wasn't necessarily true.
What do you mean?
The Americans were constantly pushed back, defeated.
Is this critical race theory?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they were all white back then. But the fact of the matter was the war in America had started to become expensive and very unpopular, and other European countries were starting to encroach on other British possessions, specifically the French. So by the time Cornwallis was defeated and forced to surrender his army at Yorktown, the British people had basically said, enough is enough. We'll let these dumb Yanks mess around for now, and then we'll come back and take it over some other day.
So real quick, what you're saying is that the Brits did not want to be involved in a long, expensive war.
A prolonged, expensive war, which was unpopular with the people.
See, that's why America's so great. If there's anything Americans love, it is a prolonged, expensive war that's unpopular. That's our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
We perfected
Woo!
It. Freedom.
Number one. We're number one. One. Number
Today
one.
Today is the greatest.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Second biggest battle at the Alamo ever going on right now. It's all Phil Collins' fault.
Oh, that jerk. What did he do?
Well, he's done a couple of things. One, he introduced the most important drum fill of all time to our, you know, our brains.
Oh, yeah. Gotta start that every New Year's Eve so it hits the drum solo right at midnight.
Ooh, you're able to do that?
I mean, yeah.
That's a little Phil Collins for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a huge collector.
Oh, yeah. He loved
Alamo memorabilia.
Loved that stuff.
Yeah. In fact, he had the largest collection. I was going to say largest private collection, But it turns out he had the largest collection of Alamo memorabilia. Period. Be
That's
any museum
so
or anything. I know. I guess he was really taken aback by the story of the Alamo growing up as a kid, started collecting stuff, obviously had tons and tons of money that he made from And so he made this huge collection, and then as he's aging a little bit, he said, you know what? I shouldn't keep this whole collection of memorabilia.
It belongs to the people.
I'll give it to the state of Texas. And he gave us that huge collection 7 years ago.
Okay, thank you.
And when he gave it to us, he said, guess what, Texas? Here's the largest collection of Alamo memorabilia, and you get it for free. All you have to do is create a museum and have a plan together by 2021.
Okay, so that gives us 7 years to create a museum and have a plan together.
Yes. Well, now, a lot of you might be saying, hey, I remember hearing something about this, but I've got a couple of questions for you, Matt. A, how come I haven't heard about this museum or been to it? And B, isn't it 2021? And guess what? You're right on those things, good listener. It turns out that they kind of agreed and got the money raised, which is one of the things they had to do to build this, you know, prime museum mm-hmm. on this memorabilia. And supposedly a lot of stuff is really fantastic and very interesting. Unfortunately, the powers that be, especially in this state, and you know how currently this state seems to have lost its collective mind, is
all small government, though. They don't step in on things that don't
involve about right now. You're going straight to the government. This has nothing to do with the government.
Okay.
God, why are you always that way? Why are you so negative about the government?
I'm not. I said they're small government.
Who's they?
You know, Dan Patrick.
That's somebody in politics. You keep going to politics.
People,
this has nothing to do with politics.
The people they appoint to run stuff.
This has nothing to do with politics because this is a private institution. What it does have to do with is these museum boards, but it's the same thing. What they are having a hard time deciding is, should the museum tell the story of the Alamo, or should the museum tell the story of the Alamo?
Like what really happened.
Yeah, it turns out there are two stories, and so a lot of old Texans are like, I want to continue to tell the, well, frankly, I don't want to upset anybody, but the myth of the Alamo.
The story we were raised to believe.
The story that we were all raised on.
One of the many things is
it's a pretty awesome story when you think about it.
If Santa Anna wasn't such a terrible general, they should have been able to take the Alamo down in less than a day. Easily.
Maybe.
But he liked to march. He was a fan of Napoleon and liked to line all of his men up and march them straight forward in a column. And they were just being decimated by cannons and rifle fire from the Alamo defenders.
Sure, that's some of it. But, you know, more so, I think some people are wanting to, you know, a lot of people are wanting the kind of the true story of just how Texas came to be left out. Because, you know, the whole thing is for a lot of us, the story of the Alamo is about freedom.
And
know?
Heroes.
Freedom and heroes.
When these were a bunch of dudes that were already kicked out of their own state, had nowhere else to go, didn't have money, and saw an opportunity.
This is, you're clearly on the libtard side.
I'm on the side of what history has, you know, kind of slowly begin to revise and teach.
There are these things where some people are extremely afraid of, I don't know, facts. Like, facts scare some people, and they're just like, but if you tell that story, then the story doesn't sound as cool, and we don't seem as cool.
And I mean, what, every city in Texas has a downtown with streets named Crockett, Bowie, Travis,
sure.
Austin.
Yeah. And every seventh grader was walking around with a Texas history book. And if they were to go there and go, wait a minute, this is a little different than the story in my Texas history book, then you've got some questions that become difficult to answer.
Yes.
That's why we have some brand new house bills that have come about saying, hey, let's not dig too deeply into these stories. So now here's the thing.
I can't believe and I'm this about is to get on Phil Collins' side for something.
Well, here's where the articles are starting to point towards. Phil Collins is kind of getting cold feet on this whole thing.
Okay.
And there's a chance he might say,
give me my stuff.
You don't get to have all the stuff that I was going to give you because you guys can't get your jack together. And then, San Antonio misses out on an awesome new museum.
Mm-hmm.
That means the next time I go to San Antonio, I have to spend even more time at the Ripley's Believe It or Not, or even more time at the magical mystery maze down there, or whatever it else is my kids drag me to.
The glorious Riverwalk.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping on a nice, air-conditioned, big museum down there where I could walk around and look at some memorabilia and at least enjoy myself for, I don't know, an hour. Every one of us has had somebody in the family say, well, let's just go to San Antonio for the weekend. We just got to get out of here for the weekend. And then you get dragged down there, and San Antonio can be kind of miserable in the summertime. So let's get it together, museum people.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It was announced today that South by Southwest is going to have wrestling this year.
What do you mean?
Well, not like it used to be at Fun 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 Fest, where there was actually a ring in the middle of the festival and they used to wrestle. No, it's their keynote speaker. One of the many ones coming is WWE Chief Brand Officer Stephanie McMahon. As you know, her dad Vince runs everything.
Right.
And one of the big hot topics she's going to discuss is just how they become a sports entertainment leviathan that is now threatened by an all-new promotion, All Elite Wrestling. And as I'm just reading through this and kind of picking apart the article about WWE, you know, Stephanie McMahon speaking at South by Southwest, I just don't see a bunch of tech geeks who want to get into a free whiskey party with Neutral Milk Hotel playing, wanting or caring about wrestling.
I don't. Have you been to South by Southwest?
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound rude, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what. That seems right on brand for South by Southwest.
How?
Well,
I mean, just think about Austin, us as a radio program compared to every other city in the South where a 10-minute segment every hour has to be about what just happened in the WWE the night before. I just don't see Austin having a wrestling audience.
There's no part of me that thinks this is about wrestling. This is about marketing. This is about creating huge entertainment brands. And I think that's why most people are coming to South by Southwest is to learn more about how to promote their entertainment brands. And there's a lot to learn there.
Okay.
I don't think she's coming to bring a bunch of, I mean, I'm sure I'll be part of it.
To crack someone in the head with a folding chair.
You know that wrestling is one of the biggest entertainment silos out there. I mean, it's enormous.
I was a giant fan as a kid.
You still are a pretty big fan.
I'm big, but I'm not I don't really watch wrestling anymore. I mean, I just grew out of it.
Now, okay. I don't want to back you into a corner here. We're friends.
Don't break kayfabe.
What is kayfabe?
It's you can't break character of wrestling. It's their secret society.
Oh, that's right. That's kayfabe.
Yeah.
Do you think that you might be a little bit of an elitist?
No.
No?
I just think it was something I grew out of.
You just were like, oh, I can't see people, you hipsters coming here for their Neutral Milk. No one has come to South by Southwest to do anything with Neutral Milk Hotel ever. Like, you just pulled that out of thin air. And I really think that I think that's a good grab.
I guess. The digital portion of South by Southwest has become the biggest, the largest over the last couple of years.
There's more money that comes from the digital portion than any other part. So when people talk about South by Southwest, they say it's about the music.
South by Southwest
as an organization does not give an F about the music anymore because it's not really where the money's coming in.
Yeah.
The money's coming in the digital portion.
Yeah.
And now the new expanded EDU portion, there's a lot of money coming in right there. But over the 10 days, those are the bookends right there that's making the big dough. That's the music thing is that's just to have around because it's fun.
Yeah. That's for us old guys that like to wander around the alleys.
It's never been for me.
Bouncing.
I'm going to tell you that right now. Yeah. Uh-oh. Am I getting myself in trouble? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to be cool radio people on 101X. Yeah, don't do that.
I'm a cool radio person.
Don't do that.
I think that you might be a little bit wrong on this. I think it's going to be a huge hit.
Okay. Well, if we get badges this year, I'll go discover. I'll find out. I'll listen to it. Just don't see that tech crowd caring. Nope. Probably wrong.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
CJ, Hope Punk is the way forward.
Hope Punk.
Yeah, it's not a woman named Hope Punk, and it's not a new music. No,
okay.
That's not that either. Real quickly, are you positive or negative when it comes to the climate and the future of our world?
I mean, I'm negative about everything.
Yeah, a little pessimistic,
And I do believe we are headed in a negative place.
Right. So, and what's been happening is journalism has for some time been feeding us all of the negative The seas will rise.
Plastic in the oceans.
Acid will come out of the skies.
Volcano eventually.
You'll probably get butt cancer.
Asteroid in your butt cancer.
Asteroids are also a name for cancer of the butt.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's been happening, and quite a few people have come out and said, hey, look, we've been doing some studying with the way that people's psychology works, and one of the things we know about people is that when you tell them something is hopeless, they tend not to get really motivated to do anything.
You don't give a crap anymore. You're like, why try?
Yeah. So if you're in a car and someone's like, we're not going to make it to the next gas station. We are going to run out of gas. We are going to be stuck in this desert. You tend to start thinking of all the negatives, right?
Yeah.
And you're just like, and eventually you go, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die out here in the desert.
Run out of gas, no AC.
Birds are going to pluck the flesh from my bones.
Why didn't I pack that cooler full of ice and beer?
Oh, why didn't I charge my Nintendo? Anyway, you have those things. And then all of a sudden you come over the crest, and when you do, someone goes, whoa, there's a gas station right there.
We're going to make it.
And when you see the gas station, human nature is you get super excited. And quite a few people have come up and said, hey, look, I think maybe they were trying to do the good thing, but essentially all of these environmentalist naysayers who've been around for a while, the earth is melting.
Just reinforcing negativity.
Reinforced all kinds of negativity. And you have two things that have happened, therefore. You have people who could have helped out making some changes.
But feel powerless.
They feel powerless. Or the other reaction some people have is to go, well, they're full of it. We can't be hopeless. And then you get people who are like, no, I don't think it's even real. Because you're trying to protect yourself from the negativity.
Yeah.
And so quite a few people have come out and said, hey, there's this whole thing called solutions journalism. If you were to spend more time talking about all the positive progress we're making toward the climate, then people would go, oh, look, we're actually going to be able to find a solution for this, and you would start to get all these people on board. Does that make sense the way I describe it?
I mean, just to think of like a football team analogy, you know, if you're coaching a bunch of middle schoolers and they're down and out, and you tell them, you guys are going to lose this game, you suck, they're going to get stomped even more. But right. you encourage them. You tell them we can do this.
If you show them, hey, in the last two quarters, you guys have already scored 30 points. And so that means that you're averaging 15 points a quarter. And all you need is 14 points to take the lead. Now you've really put some positivity in somebody's head, and they believe that they can win.
But I feel like the problem with media and the internet is
the dolphins are dead, and there's no way we're going to live, and your children are doomed.
Whoa. I agree with this. I mean, I think with the news media, with our politicians, with everything, it should be more solution-oriented. I think it's easy to say what the problem is and bitch about it rather than actually try to come up with some solutions.
Yeah, so anyway, I know we've talked about having this benchmark, the big green, talking about what's happening in the environment and are we even headed anywhere positive. And I thought we should just maybe start with the theme as we go through this, just are you hopeful or hopeless, right? And look for things out there that bring us, that show us the positives that are happening. Because I think sometimes people are afraid to talk about the positives because they're afraid, well, if people see that we're making some progress, they'll think they don't have to do anything.
They'll take their foot off the pedal.
They'll take their foot off the pedal. But what we're learning about human nature is it's actually quite the opposite. If people learn, oh, I actually, even my little bit that I could do would add to the greater good, that we could probably move somewhere positive.
Almost to the finish line, going to sprint harder.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to occasionally in the segment bring in stuff that I think is ridiculously dumb about an environment.
Oh, I think that is hilarious.
Yeah, because I like making fun of people who are self-righteous and think that they're right, but actually,
and trying to possibly make money off of...
Well, that's the big thing. That's the big thing. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are trying to make money off of this movement, and to them, I say words I can't say right now.
Not on the radio.
Anyway, I think a big victory in a good green is this idea of hope punk. That ends today's, I don't have a name for it. Go green, good green, big green, green, something green. I don't know. No. 101X, Matt and CJ. CJ, does a term like luxury bus, does that feel weird?
I mean, if you've ever taken one of those omnibuses anywhere, no, it sounds great.
Okay, have you now, so when you say omnibus, you're talking about
the
Megaboost?
The Megaboost, yes.
Megaboost? Or
those are definitely the opposite of luxury.
Okay.
They're cheap, but it is not pleasing.
Sure, or Greyhound.
Yeah.
Sorry to dog you, Greyhound. As a stand-up comic, I spent many a mile in one of your seats. Well, usually next to somebody who would just give him blood. So wasn't always a luxury. But there's two new kind of bus lines. A brand new one. There's one called Vaughn Lane. And there's a brand new one called Red Coach that's just launched. And part of their launch is that they're offering $15 tickets. So you could go from here to Dallas for $15 one way. So it's $30 round trip.
That's not bad, though. I mean, you're going to spend that on gas, at least.
Well, here's where I think it's really appealing. If I have to drive up there, there's so much construction right now. And
all the way through
it's a
Waco.
Real pain in the
unending
ass, right? Oh, by the way, it does stop in Waco, too. And if I were to have the change in my pocket to fly, well, now I got to get out to the airport. I got to park at the airport.
You got to pay for parking. You got to pay for a lift.
I don't know if you've been through security since COVID struck the airports, but it's not exactly, I mean, when it's all said and done, yes, maybe you're flying in the air, but when it's all said and done, it ends up taking 4 hours to get to Dallas, whereas if you drive it, it's three.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So these buses will take you to Dallas for pretty cheap, and I'm guessing if it's a luxury bus, first class experience,
recline. They call it business class seats. Big old reclining seats. There's only 26 seats on the whole bus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's not a lot of seatage.
And I'm guessing it's going to eliminate the perpetual smell of stale cigarettes and coffee that come with every Greyhound ride.
Now I just feel like we're dogging the underdog.
I mean, but come on.
We've
been on those
now.
Buses before, and
yes.
it's always the dude that you're pretty sure is going in the bathroom in the back just to smoke a quick cigarette.
Well, I'm looking at video of it, and it's like, this seats go all the way back.
Yeah.
And you pick it up. You pick up the E on like 3rd and Colorado. So right downtown. So you could take a cab downtown or whatever. You can get on this bus and then you could get up. And I guess, you know, for some people it'd be maybe to go visit family or something. But also if you had business there, it takes you to right to downtown Dallas. So the Omni Hotels where the drop-off is in Dallas. So you just hop off, you stay in the Omni. The next day you do business. The next day you come back.
Pretty simple.
It's kind of nice. It's got Wi-Fi, snack. They say all you can eat, snacks and drinks. That's where I think the advantage is for a guy like you. I think you could get $30 worth of snacks and drinks
My classic method of not eating anything until I get on that bus. But here's the deal. It's $15 right now, but what's this going to be worth when
Same thing that
30,
like the Megaboost does. Yeah, I think it eventually probably, you know, they you know how Megabus does that thing where if you're like one of the first two or three people to reserve a seat, it's like $5. It's so cheap. But it goes up as the supply goes down. Yes, as the supply seats go down. I think they do the same thing. The closer you get on things, like if you want to do one, if you'd like the day of, I want to say it's $50, $60, $70. But even then, I don't know. It just seems, I've done that drive a whole lot up to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It has cost me thousands of dollars over the years because I don't know how to slow down around Waxahachie.
Oh, and there's always a DPS.
I can't tell you how many $300 tickets I've gotten going up to Dallas over the years where I get pulled over and they're like, oh, sir, is there a reason you're going 90? And I'm like, yes, this drive is boring. It's boring.
My problem is when I get around that never-ending construction through before, during Waco, and after Waco, the constant stopping and starting kind of rocks you back and forth and kind of lulls you into a little bit of sleepiness. And then you got to jerk awake so you don't rear-end someone. That's why I would love to take a bus or something like that, just because I feel like I'm going to fall asleep.
Well, I've been talking about the bus going to Dallas and Houston from Austin, but it also goes to Waco. So one of the things you could do is get like a $15 round trip ticket, head up there, and then you saved extra money so that you can go to the Magnolia Silos and buy a $400
buy a bunch of
candle.
Crappy candles, yeah.
Matt and CJ. 101X.
All week we've been telling you about the most haunted places in Austin.
Spooky.
Trying to get ready. Get you everybody in that Halloween spirit.
Yeah.
Now, of course, CJ's a real fool and he'll fall for anything, but I don't really believe in ghosts. But I'm having fun anyway, talking about the very haunted and spooky locations.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool historical places. I read about one recently that you'll probably get to on this list later this week, but it's kind of fun because yeah. I'm learning stuff I didn't know before.
Well, you knew we'd get to it eventually. Big hotel built in 1886. What could it possibly be?
I'm guessing the legendary Driscoll ghost.
Ding, 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 ding. Yep. You have reached it. Supposedly, there's more than one ghost in the Driscoll.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was just one haunted room or something like that.
No, when you go by there, they actually will give you a piece of paper about all the hauntings there. A lot of places try to keep it a little bit on the DL. I think a lot of places used to be more on the DL about their hauntings because... Well, people used to be a little more religious here in the buckle part of the Bible Belt.
Yeah, but now it's probably more of an attraction
I think
than
a
anything.
Lot of people
yeah.
like this kind of ghost tourism, and they like to stay at places that they believe are
yeah.
spooky and haunted.
My fiance and her friend Whitney and Karina went and stayed at a place in Seguin that's supposed to be the most haunted hotel.
We will get to that later in our hauntings in and around
Ooh.
Austin. It is on my list.
But today... The Driscoll, the one that probably everyone, when you first move here, if you're into spooky stuff, you've probably heard about the Driscoll being haunted.
It's actually been, it's actually on a list of the most haunted hotels in all of America.
Ooh.
Multiple websites have listed there, guests, hotel staff, everybody have reported encounters with, one with the original owner, who was Colonel Jesse Driscoll. They also say there's ghosts of a lot of young women that are haunting the hotel. And they say that there are ghosts not just in the hotel, but in the alleyway behind the hotel. They suggest that there are also ghosts that can be seen only in that alleyway. I think that's probably people dropping deuces off
yeah,
the 6th
yeah,
Street
that's,
more than anything
that's,
else.
That's something else scary.
Yeah, and supposedly some of the floors are more haunted than others.
Ooh.
And there's like, I don't know, like paranormal fans and stuff, and they have like... They're like, oh, this is the room you got to stay in. This is the room. And there's all kinds of research you can do if you wanted to stay there one time and be kind of spooky or whatever. If I can, a little bit of, I think, kind of helpful information about the Driscoll. I don't. Have you been to the Driscoll
oh, yeah.
for anything?
Yeah, stayed there once and been to the bar a couple times.
Okay, I've gone there for multiple events. Austin Film Festival, I used to do a lot of stuff with them there. And
weddings.
I've gone for some
yeah.
weddings, all kinds of stuff. I have spent a lot of time in the Driscoll, and one of the things I have learned is... Let's say you're on 6th Street, Dirty 6 maybe, and you get a cramp and you need to use
a
restroom.
You gotta go.
If you go in through the bar, the men's room there has full doors on the toilet. You know what I mean? It's not a stall. There's no one walking in on you. It's a full door that you can lock. It's air conditioned. And as long as you go in through the bar, no one's going to stop you and ask you any
yeah.
questions. They just assume you're there to drink at the bar.
So you can pop in and drop off some dead weight.
Ooh, man, I have spent some time in there. And to Colonel Driscoll, I say thank you.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It is your Nerd Report. Matt Bearden, did you know you could get paid to watch every Simpsons episode?
I didn't know. This is going to be great news to my kids.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of The Simpsons. Grew up watching it. What about you? Are you neutral? Are you watch it all the time or just don't
Man,
really
when
care?
It first came out, I watched it, you know, pretty religiously every week.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, life happened and it's hard for me to, I'm not much for appointment television anymore.
Yeah, it's one of the many shows that I go back through and just watch again from beginning to end when I don't have anything to do in the evening. I'm currently going back through all the Treehouse of Horror episodes. But the reason that someone wants to hire an analyst to do this is because they want them to see if The Simpsons can still keep predicting things that are going to happen in the future.
Okay, right.
So The Simpsons have foreseen Donald Trump's presidency, the coronavirus, and more. And now a UK casino website wants to hire someone to watch every single episode of The Simpsons. And the pay is going to be nearly $7,000 and a weekly box of donuts. What a perfect job for our dear friend Chewy.
What? It's a the total is $7,000?
Total is $7,000.
That's not a lot of money for... That's a lot of time you're investing.
That's a lot of time, but they have an entire year to do it. You also get the donuts, and they're also going to throw in about $100 a month stipend for Disney Plus.
I'm sorry. They're only hiring one person to do this?
Yes.
Okay, come on.
Let's be honest. This reeks of marketing
ploy. It does, because there's going to be a billion people that apply for it. Do they say anything about how they're selecting the person?
Over on their website, they have more kind of criteria and stuff like that. But no, they don't really say exactly how they're going to select you. You just kind of fill out this simple application. Look how short that is.
That is not...
And there you go.
I like how they're already eliminating a lot of people.
Yeah, because
the majority of people are not going to fill out that much information for a Simpsons series analyst job. $7,000. That's a lot of... What does that come out to? Like $4 an hour?
I mean, geez, how many episodes are there? They're 22 minutes long. Yeah. We'll figure out the math later, but I thought it would be a really cool
idea. Well, why don't you apply? Why don't you put the show up there or something and say, hey, we've got this great show. We reach 10, 15 people a day.
At least, sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay to lie a little bit. And let them know that we got this show. It's just we're a couple of idiots hanging out in the afternoon, and we could watch. And then we'll talk about a casino?
Yeah, dude, that's perfect, because now we have something to do in between these long-ass song breaks. Just sit back and watch The Simpsons.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Hey, if you got any Delta 8 on you, you may not want to have it on you.
Oh, what? I just drove by a place that said, get your Delta 8 here on the way to Q2 Stadium Saturday.
Sure, I've gotten, pretty much every Stop and Rob in my neighborhood.
Has Delta 8.
I'm sorry, convenience store has Delta 8 in it.
We might have a client and be endorsing Delta 8.
That is true.
Yeah.
Delta 8 is derived from hemp cannabis, took off after the 2018 Farm Bill legalized hemp production federally. It's a THC product, but it's never been listed on the state's controlled substance list. That is, until last week. On October 15th, the Texas Department of State Health Services posted an update on their consumable hemp program page, saying in part, all other forms of THC, including Delta 8, in any concentration, and Delta 9 exceeding 0.3% are considered Schedule 1 controlled substances.
Oh, man!
It's very confusing right now,
I don't
know what's going on, because it's everywhere. And why wasn't this announcement something that was at the head of everything? Why wouldn't they put this announcement where people who purchased Delta 8 would see it, like in the drive-thrus of Taco Bell, KFC, Burger King, Wendy's? I don't know exactly what's happening, but some people have brought up the reality that if you're caught with, if you're caught with a Delta 8 vape cartridge, a package of gummies, I mean, if they're looking at it the same as they're looking at Delta 9, then that means you're looking at a felony.
Yeah. That's federal ass pounding prison time. That's not good.
That's the legal term for it.
Yeah.
I'm very confused by this. I'm just now reading this article. It's popped into my vision. I haven't heard anything about it from even like potential clients we have that I thought would have reached out. I don't know what's going on.
Or on the news or anything, but I'm still seeing guys outside spinning signs that say, get your Delta 8 gummies here.
I think one of the problems is that it seems like somebody just went in and updated the wording, but forgot to really do what you would usually do in a situation like this. Where you would say, hey, in 1 year, we're going to make this illegal. Now they know they don't have a year because they know that they eventually full legalization is coming to the state and they can't really get away from it because that is exactly what's happening with the entire world. Because as we grow a little older, we're not scared of the boogeyman.
Marijuana.
The devil's lettuce.
It's so frustrating. Years ago that I joked about every state surrounding Texas will have legal weed before we do. And people are like, no, ranchers and farmers, they make so much money off of hemp and selling weed and it's a big boom, but it's legal in Oklahoma medicinally, fully legal in New Mexico and legal in Louisiana. So we're the last state.
Okay. ABC 13, which is in Houston, reached out to Texas DPS to find out if and how the state will enforce this little-known ban. ABC 13 is still awaiting their response.
They're like, wait, what ban?
I don't think the confusion is just on our end. I think it's everywhere. They also reached out to DSHS, which is the organization that wrote the coding. They said, hey, we want to ask about the updated verbiage on Delta 8. And a spokesperson says Delta 8 has always been illegal because it is a THC cannabinoid. However, she could not explain how the Delta 8 market has basically publicly blossomed. It's thriving, even though she considered it to be illegal. She told ABC that the hemp industry asked DSHS for clarification on its legality, which that's why they decided to update the verbiage. Now, here's where the problem is that the hemp industry basically said, hey, we need you to clarify this. I think they thought they were going to say, oh, all right, Delta 9... illegal. Delta 8. Okay.
Good.
Instead, they updated it to go, no. If it, what is it? If it breathes, it bleeds. Or whatever. And so
if it's
now,
green, you go to the federal peen.
Yeah, so I would not necessarily panic immediately, throw everything out, but I maybe keep an eye on it.
Or get our asses out of the studio and run to the convenience store and buy up as much as we can before it's gone.
Nah, it's not for me. I'm a grown-up. I don't do anything bad. Just sit around the house, read my Reader's Digest.
Eat your Metamucil.
That's it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Hooters is no longer backing dead ass up.
What do you mean?
Last week, we discovered that Hooters had essentially... what the article said, discovered the booty. And so they updated their uniforms to be a little racier, show a little bit more cheek.
Yeah, they were like less like shorts and more like some kind of...
kind of like a bikini bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I see
beach
sometimes...
beach volleyball player bottoms.
I see sometimes ladies in parking lots turning truck tires over in those kind of shorts.
Yeah.
What is that called? CrossFit.
Yeah. So they were very revealing, apparently a little tight and uncomfortable around the crotch area, and just overall did not receive very, very good comments and did not receive a good reception from the Hooters servers who took to the platform TikTok to complain about it.
Nah, well, that's what we do now.
We
right?
go to the internet. We don't go to our management or HR or write the company. We go to TikTok to passive-aggressively subtweet and complain, but it actually worked.
What do you mean?
It worked. Hooters has decided to walk back their racy uniform policy after the employees vent on TikTok.
This is ridiculous. This cancel culture has to stop. If I want to take my 65-year-old ass out to Hooters and enjoy some spicy wings while I look at the backside of a woman who doesn't really have the time for me or any interest in me, it's my God-given freedom right to do so that was delivered to me on high by an eagle with a mullet.
Hooters has revised its new uniform policy because of these complaints, specifically in Texas, because so many workers took to TikTok to complain about the very, very skimpy short shorts. And a lot of the girls were calling them panties, underwear, bikinis. And I've looked through all these TikToks and I can say the shorts look great, but waiting tables and it might be a little uncomfortable.
What a terrible rollout. I'm trying to figure this out. How did corporate not
test, ask,
figure this out beforehand? How do you roll this out? Like, they just announced one day to all of their employees, hey, you guys are going to start wearing shorts that you're not interested in.
Here's your new shorts. Good luck.
I mean, good on them actually for backing down if enough people were complaining, because they could have gone in for the fight. But right now is a great time to
appease service industry folks.
I was going to say it's actually a great time to listen to your employees, because right now it's a little hard, especially in the service industry, to get employees.
Yeah.
So you might not want to pick right now as the time to fight a battle. Now, you can incentivize. Hi, if you want to wear these shorts, we'll pay you an extra
dollar an hour or something.
Wow.
I mean,
they so make, my booty is worth a dollar an hour to you, CJ?
Servers in Texas make what, $2.13 an hour?
You're really sexist. That's
a 33.
You're really sexist, CJ.
33%
I hope
increase.
Everybody out there heard how sexist CJ is. He thinks that women should get paid a dollar an hour to show themselves to for the benefit of his leering eyes.
It's my money, my ways.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
CJ, it's time for another installment of People Behaving Badly.
Bad! You're bad! You're nasty!
Big dust-up this weekend between Secret Service and a terrorist here in Austin. It's been a long time, what? I think, since we've heard about terrorists and terrorism.
Yeah, that used to be
the news constantly.
The boogeyman. Yeah.
Yeah, Secret Service agent Patrick Allen Walters created a dust-up, caused a car crash on October 16th, which would be Saturday, out there on 71 near Montopolis. You know where that is?
Yeah.
He was tracking individuals who had been in contact with terrorists. And so he had no choice but to cause the car accident. He had to drive
like
over.
Pit maneuver him?
Well, he actually, yeah, had to go over a median and then slam into the front of this car where this person had been in contact with the terrorist.
Damn.
Slammed into her car and immediately jumped out, producing his badge and, you know, barking commands at this woman who was stopped at the red light. And so I know you're like, wow, good. We got the bad guys. We got the terrorists. Police showed up. And it turns out Mr. Walters could only provide a Texas ID and not his Secret Service ID. He did have his badge, which the cops noticed was, quote,
plastic,
longer and fatter than any badge we've ever seen.
Oh.
And it turns out that Mr. Walters, even though he believes he's a U.S. Secret Service agent, in fact, his badge was gold. It said Secret Service, and then it actually said Special Agent across the bottom. Turns out he was apparently part of the Super Secret Service?
Yes.
Secret Service has no recollection of this guy.
Double deep state. That's what this is.
Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Walters is a little bit of trouble.
Poor lady. That's so scary.
Well, I think she was probably horrified. She's sitting in a light. A guy comes across. And also kind of harkens to the fact that we have a lot of kooky Mondays out there, and we're not helping anybody with things like, Facebook, Twitter, 24-hour news cycles.
Yeah,
any of these places where
ramps up the paranoia just a bit.
If you're already a paranoid person and the world keeps telling you, you should be paranoid, then things happen like this. And apparently, we don't know where he got his badge, but he did jump out and start screaming at the woman. She didn't know what to do. Luckily, some people had called the police because apparently nobody was fooled. He was driving a 1982 Chevy Cavalier, and no one was like, you know what? I think that might be the Secret Service.
Yeah.
And
he didn't hear, like, a lot of those guys will buy the old police vehicles from auctions drive around like they're cops, but not even that, a Chevy Cavalier.
Yeah. Which I think, didn't you used to drive a cab?
Yeah. And those are not necessarily a vehicle you're going to want to ram into anything with.
No, not at all.
I'm pretty sure they're made out of something weaker than plastic.
Just like his badge was weaker than plastic. So today's person behaving badly is Mr. Patrick Allen Walters of Austin, Texas. Godspeed you, sir, and may this all get worked out in the courts.
Yeah, good luck with that. You know, I've got an FBI badge.
Female body inspector.
Woo! 101X, Matt and CJ.
I've got an interesting kind of little story for you about a guy who was in Congress, but probably is not going to be in Congress anymore.
Oh, time to retire, hang your hat up, let someone younger and more eager take over your seat while you sit back and enjoy life. Have the grandkids over for barbecue.
No, not exactly. Actually, Congressman Fortenberry? That's it.
Sounds legit.
Representative Fortenberry, he's a Republican from Nebraska. He's going to be indicted for lying to the FBI about accepting illegal foreign campaign contributions.
Oh, yeah, you don't lie to the FBI.
Yeah. And you're probably wondering, hey, why is Matt bringing a story in about some Republican representative from Nebraska? Why is he bringing it?
What does it have to do with Austin, Texas?
What does it have to do with Texas? And I'll tell you, it's because he happens to be at the center of one of my favorite political controversies of the last 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So in 2018, his chief of staff, a guy who was actually from Austin and had moved up to become his chief of staff, a little man by the name of William Rain Archer. He was the Texas Health Commissioner. He got fired in 2000. And I remembered when he got fired. He got fired because, he talked to an employee of his who was African-American, and he kept talking to her about how fair-skinned she was. And that must have some real advantages to have to be black, but to have skin that's that fair. And then he also said some really weird stuff about there were some Hispanic teens with higher pregnancy rates. And he said, maybe it's just because they like babies more.
God damn.
Yeah, so it was... He kind of got himself into some old school trouble, right?
Yeah, luckily this is pre-internet, so he landed on his feet in
Nebraska.
But
that's not the controversy that got me so excited.
Okay.
I've given you the two characters now, right?
Yes.
Fortenberry and his chief of staff, William Rain, R-E-Y-N, I believe is how it was spelled. Rain Archer. So, in 2018... Fortenberry was running for re-election, and somebody vandalized one of his signs and changed it. It put googly eyes on it and then changed the name to Fartenberry.
I can see where that's coming from.
Fartenberry. And then underneath it said, like, for something an honor, but they change honor to say odor, right? So
it's stupid, but I love it.
I love
Fartenberry.
I love it. It's Fartenberry.
Yeah,
right. It's not, how is it not funny that they put googly eyes on it and it just said for country something an odor or whatever, and I just remember that minute being funny. Well, there was a professor at the local university who, going through Facebook, saw it, ha ha ha, and hit a like on it. Well, this William Rain Archer guy rained down on him and tried to get him fired for hitting like on Facebook.
On a stupid, goofy photo.
Yeah. Now, what Mr. Archer didn't know is that when he finally called this professor and talked to him for like an hour trying to chastise him, the professor had the wherewithal to record
the conversation.
And then he released the conversation.
Woo!
So this was on an older show of mine. I remember just like listening to it and laughing my ass off because he's like, do you think odor is funny? Do you think odor is funny? And the guy, the professor's like,
are farts funny?
Yeah. But it's literally, he's trying to yell. And he's like, you think farts are funny? He's like, this is vandalism. And he's like, dude, it's not vandalism. It was funny. I hit like on something because
it's on social media.
They changed your boss's name to fart. It's funny. Anyway, Godspeed, Mr. Fartenberry.
Enjoy prison.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Matt, it is time to win something.
Yeah.
Every day around now, we're going to get a prize together. We're going to play a game, and someone has a chance to win something. And we've got Curtis on the phone, right?
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah. Curtis, are you ready to win something?
I'm so ready to win something.
Now, Curtis, you know that sometimes the something you win may be absolutely dumb and trashy because the morning show gets all the good prizes. So this is our way of protesting. Are you ready to still play?
I'm willing to take that risk.
I love it. Ready to win something! All right, Curtis, today's game is called Good, Bad, and the Ugly. We're going to do a Halloween candy edition. According to how certain candies ranked on a clickbait list, I'm going to read you the candy, and you're going to tell me whether it's good, bad, or ugly.
Love it.
Simple enough?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, you just got to say good, bad, or ugly. All right, we will start with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Are they good, bad, or ugly?
Those have to be good.
Oh, yes,
absolutely.
Of course. Smart man.
Curtis, way to go.
But what about Peanut Butter Kisses? You know, the things in, like, the waxy paper? They've got little bits of peanut butter in the center.
The peanut butter versions of Hershey Kisses?
No, they're...
Let's just go ugly.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
They look like Baby Duke.
What about Good and Plenty's?
Oh, man.
Those were the little...
I'm going to say... Yeah, let's go bad.
God, you are 3 for 3.
Curtis, you're killing it right now, dude.
This is probably the best contest player we've
ever
had.
Curtis, are you from Austin?
Well, I've been here about 20 years.
Okay, where did you come here to go to school? Or did you go to high school here by any chance?
No, career move.
You don't want to throw a shout out to like your alma mater who obviously educated you properly. You're nailing this contest, dude. That's amazing.
Or you just love
life
sugar.
Lessons.
Yeah.
All right, we've got the Necco wafers.
I'm going to say ugly.
Oh, ugly is correct. This one should be easy as well. What about Skittles?
Good.
Yeah. Skittles are good, and now this is the pivotal moment. This
we
is
take
your...
this guy to Vegas with us to pick our pick sports teams or something.
Your very last one, candy corn.
Oh, that's unfair. That's not. I know how that ranks nationally, but personally, I hate it. This is according to a poll. I'm going to say good, but I disagree wholeheartedly.
This is the only one you got wrong, but your overall score is so good that congratulations, you are a winner!
Yay!
Yeah, you've done it. And your prize, my dear friend Curtis, for hanging with us on the phone, getting, 5 out of 6 things correct, which you can come pick up here at the radio station.
His last answer was that he hates candy corn.
Your prize is a bag of candy corn!
Yay!
That'll be up at the front desk at the radio station for you. Curtis, thank you so much for playing.
Oh, the irony.
Just come by and pick it up whenever you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You'll still be eligible to play and win other prizes. But in the meantime, a bag of candy corn with your name on it waiting for you.
The whole city knows that you're a candy genius, and that really should be prize enough in itself, Curtis.
Exactly. Take care, man.
Ah, man. Poor sucker. Poor sucker.
That should have been ACL Fest tickets right there.
Well,
for how well he did.
We should say that any prizes that aren't collected at the end of every month will go into a bucket and we'll give out all those prizes at once.
Oh, yeah. You'll get a big-ass prize if no one picks any of the
I'm
stuff
I'm working
up.
On some other stuff in the background,
okay.
Too.
Oh, so you're heading to Goodwill tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
They say that apple pie is the all-American food. Hot dogs as well. But really, when it comes down to it, we're really a nation that's been raised on Kraft macaroni and cheese dinner, when you think about it. The old blue box.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Is great.
Is it great or is it comfort food and literally a thing that every single person in this country has had at some point in
life? I mean, that with a little bit of ketchup, some hot dogs cut up in it. Bring me back to my childhood.
Wow. So you had ketchup and hot dogs, because generally most
people...
We were
pretty wealthy.
Most people are walking around going, wait, butter and milk? Butter and milk? Raise your hand if you've ever made Kraft macaroni and cheese without either butter or milk. Just the flavor packet and maybe some water and some hope.
It's not as good.
It's not as good, is it?
It's a little runny. The noodles don't quite... puff up as well.
We've all been there.
Yeah. We've all been a little broke.
Kraft is launching a new thing called the Flavors Club. FLVRS. All capitals. Which is marketing speak for we can't afford vowels. I don't know what's going on. The Flivers Club. The Flovers Club. It's giving fans a chance to try out the brand's new. Are you ready?
Okay. Give it to me.
Flavor boosts.
Ooh, is this like little packets of salted lime or
limited edition spice
bouillon
packets?
Cube.
Limited edition spice packets can be mixed into your bowl of mac and cheese. Let's be careful; it's not really macaroni or cheese, but come on, together they make mac and cheese. Here are the three flavors: ranch. Sounds atrocious.
I mean, if you've ever had powdered ranch, though, it's not bad. It's just seasoning.
It's gross.
Okay.
like cool ranch Doritos. They can eat my ass.
Oh, I love those. That's my favorite. Once our vending machine went from no longer being quote unquote health food, and my top two things are the pork rinds.
It still says health vend on there.
But the pork rinds and the Doritos Cool Ranch are my go-tos.
Yeah, we should let you all know that they wrote an email to everybody saying we're now going to have, in the interest of our employee health, we're going to have a healthy vending machine. And they put nothing in there but like, I don't know, dry granola and something.
And also jacked up the price $2 on every item and then suddenly just started phasing it out back to...
It's now just Snickers bars.
But they didn't take the price back down to what
Camp
it was.
Hot fries.
All right, so give me ranch, some more flavors. Ranch.
Pizza.
Okay. You ever had pizza goldfish with a little pizza powder on
it? Yeah, they're okay. I'm not completely opposed to it. The third one, I bet you can guess if you start to think about what is a flavor that has become incredibly popular over, like, growing over the last 30 years in America.
Chipotle lime.
You're close, but you're not going to put lime in a macaroni and cheese. But the chipotle, think on that.
Okay.
What is something that people love to have when you're watching a ball game? With a cold beer.
Chili? Salt?
You're still close. Buffalo.
Oh! You know what? I can feel that. Buffalo spices.
I already put tons of Frank's Red Hot in my macaroni and cheese dinner.
Yeah.
Box food.
Or sriracha.
The Flavors Club is for those fans willing to expand their mac and cheese horizons. Guys, it's all artificial.
I know.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
And you can
expand
also
your the Mac and Cheese Flavors Club is for people who've given up hope and know that the sweet release of death is the only thing they're looking forward to in life.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It's time for Spinnertainment.
Spinnertainment.
Where we have our beloved producer Spinny come in and just chat with us. Maybe make production elements. Maybe, you know, tell a joke or two.
No, update us how your life's doing. Have an aim here, right. Spencer. First of all, how you doing today?
Doing fine, man. Doing just fine. Thank you for having me. Right. Of course.
When we last talked to you yesterday. We had floated out the idea that you might make a little production element for one of our bits. And if it goes well, maybe we'll ask you to do production elements on other bits. Let me clarify that. We are going to ask you to do production elements on all of our bits because we need them, and also that's what you get paid for.
Yeah.
And we need to keep you occupied so you stay alive.
Yeah.
Idle hands will start to
choke yourself.
Yeah.
Slowly.
So
that's
yesterday,
fun. Come on.
We wanted you to make a production element for our new bit that comes in the 3 o'clock hour called "Today Is the Greatest." Today is the greatest.
I don't know. I think I screwed it up.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's find out if you screwed it up or not.
We'll see.
So every time you hear "Today Is the Greatest,"
this is
every day at 3:20.
This is the brand new. This is the debut.
This is it. This is the first time we're playing this production element. Here we go.
Okay.
Keep it simple, but I definitely need to put some more work into it.
Man, it's a lot of pumpkins.
I know. That's what I realized.
You know what I'm going to tell you is because when you do stuff like this, what I've learned in the past, like when I did a birthday segment, I just had it repeating, "Today is your birthday," for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Or anytime I've done something similar, you'll get people that are super pissed off and they'll call in. They'll say, "Hey, why didn't you play that song?" Now you got the taps.
I was just playing around. Having a good time.
Why did you suddenly add in taps at the end?
It went from being the greatest day to this.
Just having a good time, man.
This really
I wanted to spinnertain.
This really speaks to your ongoing your long-term depression, that even, like, this was, like, it had, like, this nice rocking feeling, and at the end, there's just this sad little bugle boy.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like it.
I hope so, man.
I would just say a little less pumpkins.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
And get to the sadness.
What do you mean, little less pumpkins?
Like, I was trying to explain, someone's going to call in and say, "Hey, I like that song, and
so
y'all was playing part of it, but you ain't played the whole thing."
So you were
and then
about
you
one
talked
caller?
Over the whole goddamn thing.
You're talking over me while I'm trying to fight with you. You're worried about one caller calling here? That's a good. Play it again.
Yes, okay, here we go.
With a little kid.
There we go.
Oh, boy, I found that.
I think it can. We could duck the volume a little quicker on it.
Oh, for sure.
Because
I'll do CJ's job.
Yeah.
Well, it's seriously, my job.
He hasn't learned how to duck the pots. He doesn't understand it. He's never been on a talk show, so he doesn't understand. No, he has no concept.
Matt's old ass has his headphones turned up so damn loud that he can't pick up the deep golden frequency of my voice, and he just.
Look, this is why it's so good now. It's growing on me. Is that we forget it that it's there, and then it just comes in.
It's going to happen during every single story too. I'm going to be in the middle of Napoleon's army and the Grand Conquest, and then this is going to come up, and we're just going to laugh, forget what we were talking about.
I had a fun time making it.
Good,
didn't you?
Okay.
Maybe get some funeral music in there too.
That's technically funeral music, right?
Yeah,
It's good.
But it's not always history, because sometimes it's the greatest day because it's like National Hot Dog Day or something.
Yeah. Which there are a lot of those I notice on the calendar. There are like National Pet Day, National Dog Day, National Puppy Day. So maybe in interest of food, we can do National Hot Dog Day, National Bratwurst Day. Sorry, I haven't eaten yet today.
Look, I think it's a great start. I think we have to revisit it, and I would maybe go 2 days is the greatest, and then maybe not in day in history.
Okay.
We got to duck it sooner because he's just, CJ's never going to learn how to use his fingers.
No, that's fine.
That's what his fiance told
him. Hey, man, this is the first draft, you know?
Yeah. I'll do better with my tongue.
Anyway.
Day in history.
101X. Matt and CJ. This building, this neighborhood's not known for its internet. And I don't want to piss off our IT guys. It's not their fault. But when you're trying to do a radio show, we all know the most important thing about the radio.
The internet.
Is the internet. And do you remember yesterday when we were in the middle of doing a story and your phone just cut off?
Absolutely.
Cut off here. It wasn't working well. Yeah. There was a Spectrum internet outage in all of North Austin yesterday.
It was brutal.
And it was caused by some malcontents. Now, when you think of a Spectrum internet outage, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Like, how would that happen? How would some young hooligans cause that?
They would... I don't know how the internet works.
Maybe hack into a mainframe.
No.
Plug a USB into the secret computer that gives us internet.
I feel like it's always something much simpler. Like, we were skating, and then we thought, well, we'll make this, add this to our ramp, and so we just pulled up a big chunk of something, and it happened to be the internet node.
Yeah, you're kind of close, because some vandals apparently just took like a pair of bolt cutters or long shears and damaged and severed fiber optic lines that serve the whole.
Oh, I bet that was on purpose, though.
Yeah, that's what they said. It was vandals. They
you know what that is? Don't
took
you?
Out the internet just by cutting it.
You know what happened there? That's an angry wife.
An angry wife?
She's mad at her husband because he's been going on Pornhub or OnlyFans or whatever, and she's mad. So she's like, "All right, I'll show you," and just took out the entire internet with some bolt cutters.
Completely ruined our show yesterday. So thanks a lot, lady. Appreciate that.
I like that we've
all for nothing
made some strange lady who doesn't exist the culprit, even though we have zero proof of that whatsoever.
Yeah, just like your idea with some kids skateboarding and we're like, hey, bro, check this out.
Well, just because when I was a kid, as a skateboard kid, we used to mess with stuff all the time, not realizing what we had done.
Yeah,
didn't understand
that. We would do the same. What our favorite thing to do was when like there was a park where the sprinklers came up. We would take our boards and we'd pop off the heads, like just smash them.
Right.
So it's just all these fountains just soak in the park, and then like play soccer in it or just roll around. And one of the buddies ended up getting caught, and turns out that stuff's very, very expensive.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is very expensive, for like the 1990s. And he had to pay for that stuff.
Oh, well.
Didn't rat us out, though.
Rip him. He's going to be okay. We're starting to wrap up on a Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, if you will. Still doing Talktober. Yeah. I'm way behind. What happens if I end up giving up on Talktober?
You can't, man.
I said I was going to eat tacos every meal. But what if I pivot now to having one taco a day or something? I'm over 70 tacos. I am so exhausted.
I'm trying to sprint towards the finish line, and today I made the mistake of going to a chain taco place and ordered three crispies.
Chain tacos. Love chain tacos.
Here's why: because the taco trailers don't have crispy shells, and I love crispy shells. It's my favorite kind of taco thing.
You don't ever go BYOC?
Bring your own shell. That's not a bad idea. Just HEB does have the Taco Bell brand shells right there.
And then you just go up to any taqueria, it's to the trailer, and go, hey, when they say corn or flour, just say, hey, can you
I've got my own.
Can you put it in here? I brought my own just for, you know, the environment or whatever.
That's a good idea. All right. Well, you know what? That improves my mood, even though my stomach and gut health not doing so good after that today.
Well, I would hope it would improve.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.